African parents will always want us to become the doctors, the lawyers, and the teachers. And my dad was so not happy with the fact that I was doing all of these things, you know, going to workshops, going to conferences, using my pocket allowance, doing everything to learn. It didn't make sense to him.
This is Christian Achalike, a social entrepreneur from the Central African Republic of Cameroon. Here he recalls how his father disagreed with his decision to pursue a career in social development. But nobody could imagine what would come next.
And then, there come the award day. And I sat in that room, not knowing what was happening. And behold, my name was called as the overall winner, the Commonwealth Young Person of the Year 2016, for my work in preventing young people from radicalization and sensitizing against terrorism and crime and others. And I was told, as part of this process, we will be meeting with the late Queen for an official meetup and all of that. And I was like, how is this happening? I didn't know what to really talk to myself, because when I look at where I was coming from and where I was, being celebrated for things which felt as if it was a joke to so many people, which felt as if I was wasting my time, and then Her Majesty walked close to me and actually had a conversation with me about my work and praised the effort which I was doing.
And Christian's father, who never believed in what he was doing, became a proud father.
Now, the interesting part was after this. Before I got back home, my dad already had a copy of this picture and was showing everyone in the neighborhood, saying, this is my son, you know? And I mean, my dad, for once, was able to believe that the service I was doing for community, you know, was changing lives, but also had the ability to change my own life.
This is the story of a young man who discovered he had a passion for helping others and stuck to his passion against all odds. And today, that passion has taken him around the world, earning him numerous awards and enabling him to transform the lives of thousands. Well, join me as we find out how he did it. Welcome to the Climb Podcast, where we tell extraordinary stories of the African youth.
My name is Christian Achalike, and I'm from the Republic of Cameroon. I work as the African Union's Youth Ambassador for Peace, representing the Central Africa region, the AU. But at the same time, I lead a national youth-led organization called the Local Youth Corner Cameroon that works for peace. And it's actually an organization where I grew up in as a volunteer. And today I serve as executive director, and we are spread across the national territory of Cameroon.
Christian Achalike is a peace and development activist from the Central African Republic of Cameroon. Since the age of 17, he has been involved in development work in Cameroon, designing over 600 social intervention programs and helping to transform the lives of thousands of young people. So how did this burning passion for young people and for development start? Christian tells me his passion was ignited by the immense difficulties he faced as a young person.
So my passion for young people and also being a youth is actually the experience I had growing up as a kid. I grew up in one of the most violent communities in my country, and my childhood was pretty difficult in terms of where we stayed, where we grew up, where we could see how issues around school dropout was very high, issues around poverty, issues around crime, violence was very high, and it was the order of the day. And growing up in such a community, I lived it on hand. It was lifestyle, actually, for someone to hit you and you hit the person back, because, you know, it's you know, you hit me, I hit you back. It was that kind of mentality where we play football and we'll will hardly end without fighting, and there were so many other issues that were happening, and the community itself was stigmatized. Now, growing up, as well, I experienced very challenging things, like, you know, houses being burnt because people engage in crime and violence. People stabbed, you know, one of my peers, you know, was even burnt alive. And all of these things that we saw, we grew up, we heard. At some point in time, my parents realized it was risky for me growing up as a young person in that community. And then I went to a boarding school. And by that time, I had started doing theater because academically I was not very smart. So I know what it means to be last in among the last in class. I know what it means to be called a fool, you know, because you could not make it very well when it comes to exams. In the course of this, I started doing theater in school. And in the course of doing this theater, I realized that I was able to speak to people's hearts. I was able to communicate. I was able to speak against things that were happening in our community. And even parents who used to come to our school back then would enjoy it, and they would want me to keep doing this. So I realized that apart from not being the best in class, I was able to speak to issues, crime in school, in terms of violence in school. I was doing all of these theater performances. Then I used to write poems and all of that.
Despite his difficult childhood and the challenges he faced in school, Christian nevertheless had an artistic gift which he used to connect with people. And just then, he met someone who showed him how much good he could do with his talents if he became a volunteer with a civil society group called Local Youth Corner.
And that was how I got engaged with a civil society organization, Local Youth Corner, as a volunteer, where the founder back then saw me and said, "Christian, all of these things which is happening around you, the things that you do which might not be right, it's because you have extra energy as a young person. And I want to give you an opportunity to channel this energy." And that's how I got into civil society. And gradually I realized that I could become a better version of myself because I was committed to ensuring that other young people do not experience what I grew up seeing, or other young people should not find themselves in crime, violence, and others because of some of the challenges that we have in terms of, you know, weak educational system, lack of access to job, and all of these things. And that was how, as I got into the space, I was 17 then, and as young as I was, I started doing theater.
So at the age of 17, Christian joined a local civil society group called Local Youth Corner and started using his artistic talents to raise awareness on societal issues like youth violence and HIV/AIDS.
So joining Youth Corner, I think my first experience was when Youth Corner, Local Youth Corner, was carrying out a campaign against HIV/AIDS. And they were doing this campaign in local communities. And they realized that in these communities, you had people who were not very learned and educated to understand some of the key themes, you know. And that was how they invited me, and I had a theater crew then, for us to come and develop theater performances which would be able to communicate what these, you know, literature talks about. And it was a project funded by the US government. And I remember my first experience when we did our performance, there was a lady there who walked up to me and said, "Christian, we want to invite you to Yaoundé because your style of communicating these things are very nice. It's theater." And sincerely, I was very afraid to go to Yaoundé because growing up in this local community, I saw Yaoundé as if it was like traveling abroad. So I didn't go. And my formative days in Local Youth Corner was seeing myself, you know, using everything I had, because it was a voluntary organization. No staff was paid, you know. It was just voluntary. It was community service. And I would use my pocket money to go for events, to go for workshops, to go for capacity building programs. And I remember that I started applying for international conferences. I would not be selected. And the founder, who is my mentor right today, you know, kept telling me, "It's because you are not good enough. So you have to keep working. You have to keep building your skills." I will write statement of purposes. I will work on my CV. And for All of this while nothing could give me international exposure, because I was hoping someday I could go to speak in a conference somewhere. And I grew and I had my first international travel. And interestingly, my first international travel was to Ghana, where I had to pay for my flight. It wasn't free of charge. And I told my parents, and my parents said, no, where is money going to come from to pay your flight? You know, it's going to be a waste of time. And, you know, African parents will always want us to become the doctors, the lawyers, and the teachers. And my dad was so not happy with the fact that I was doing all of these things, you know, going to workshops, going to conferences, using my pocket allowance, doing everything to learn. It didn't make sense to him. So my mentor back then, you know, said, you know what, I'm going to give you some money for you to travel. And that's how I went to Ghana. But when I went to Ghana, in the conference room, I gave a little remark. You know, it was not a speech. I was just giving to ask a question. And when I spoke, people told me, Christian, you speak so well. You seem very grounded. It seems like you've been through this process step by step. And that was 2012. And later, 2013, I did my second trip to Nigeria, where it was a partially funded program, where I was also a participant for the display. It was organized by a guy called Kingsley T. Banwell, I think. And when I went for this meeting, Jewel, I sat and listened to Kingsley's story, how he built what he built. And I could not sleep at night. I kept saying, oh, it means this thing I'm doing could make me a better person someday, could make me a champion for my peers, could make me a believer of change. And I came back home and I kept doing what I was doing.
As Christian's passion for development grew and his portfolio of work across the country expanded, he started to receive national attention. And in 2014, he was appointed Cameroon's Youth Ambassador to the Commonwealth.
And that was how, in 2014, the Cameroonian government and the Commonwealth were looking for young people who could serve as Cameroon's youth ambassador to the Commonwealth. And I was young then, and I'd achieved a lot of things, working with street children, working with vulnerable young people, speaking to young people in crime, in prisons, and everything. And behold, I was afraid to apply for this position because I thought that it's mostly for those whose parents were ministers or people whose parents who were from favored homes, I should say. But when I submitted my application, I went through the interview stage and I was told that I was selected because I was sincere. I was asked a question and I said, I don't know and I'm willing to learn. And these were core values which they wanted to promote. And that's how I started serving as the Cameroon Youth Ambassador to the Commonwealth in 2014. And at Local Youth Corner, I was then appointed to serve as a Deputy National Coordinator, where I had the opportunity now to be part of programming and later the National Coordinator. And Jewel, this was work for no pay with Local Youth Corner. There wasn't any structure because it was just a voluntary organization. And when I took leadership, I was able to work with my peers to transform the organization from a no-staff organization to currently 25 staff full-time, as well as 4 offices across the country. And now I serve as executive director.
So from joining Youth Corner as a volunteer at the age of 17, Christian has now grown himself to become the executive director of the organization. And this was just the beginning. In 2015, he received one of the greatest honors imaginable.
In 2015, late 2015, then the Commonwealth Secretariat did a call for people to submit what they do, their projects and everything. And by that time, I had realized that Cameroon prisons only makes young people go to prison worse. I had friends who went to jail for one crime. When they are released, they go back to jail for 5 other crimes. So I started working on preventing radicalization of young people. I started working on the context of Boko Haram, where children were being used. I developed contents from a friend's desktop. I didn't have a computer. I would go to this friend's house because Local Youth Corner then didn't have an office. So we used to have meeting in my house, and I would go to this friend's house to use his computer to do a montage of video to sensitize community. I started writing my first training manual on peace in 2013. And all of this I was just doing because I believed in peace, because I saw what crime, I saw what violence really meant. And behold, I submitted all of these things through the Commonwealth platform. I didn't know where this was going to. Yes, I'd known about the Commonwealth because I was serving as the ambassador for the Commonwealth, for Cameroon, and there are many other ambassadors across the world. And then I received an invitation, you know, from the Commonwealth Secretariat saying, Christian, you have been shortlisted, you know, among the finalists. And we were three finalists, one per region. So then I became the finalist for the African region, where I won the award of the African Regional winner of the Commonwealth Youth Award of Excellence in Development Work. Now, going to the UK, it was my first time to go to the UK. Even my parents were not sure what was happening. My dad was confused because it didn't really add up, you know, because people expect you to become doctor, lawyer, teachers, and all of that. And I didn't know I was going to meet with the late Queen. I had no idea. I knew I was going for this award. And they had to select the first winner, the overall winner of this award. So I went, I said, okay, if I have just this one, then I'm fine. My government was informed. Everyone was feeling so excited about it. And then I traveled to the UK. When I got there, the Commonwealth had training programs and everything. I was not sure of what was happening. My friends who called me, how's London? I said, man, it's my first time. It's cold here. It was in March, I think. I said, it's cold and I'm still getting to see how things are. The food is not the best, you know. And the whole experience was so mind-blowing. And then there come the award day. And I sat in that room, not knowing what was happening. And behold, my name was called as the overall winner, the Commonwealth Young Person of the Year 2016, for my work in preventing young people from radicalization and sensitizing against terrorism and crime and others. And I was told, as part of this process, we will be meeting with the late Queen in the next day, in the evening, for an official meetup and all of that. And I was like, how is this happening? So I called my mentor and told my mentor, I will meet in the Queen. And he said, really? I said, yes. I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm just carried by this reality. And there we were, you know, in the VIP room, waiting. We're standing on the line. They had given us brief. And behold, Her Majesty and every other person from the royal family, including the late Duke of Edinburgh and, you know, David Beckham and many other people, walked into the room. And I didn't know what to really talk to myself, because when I look at where I was coming from and where I was, being celebrated for things which felt as if it was a joke to so many people, which felt as if I was wasting my time, then I was like, okay, let me leave the moment. And then Her Majesty walked close to me and actually had a conversation with me about my work and praised the effort which I was doing. It meant a lot to me. Now, the interesting part was after this, before I got back home, my dad already had a copy of this picture and was showing everyone in the neighborhood, saying, this is my son, you know. And I mean, my dad for once was able to believe that the service I was doing for community, you know, was changing lives, but also had the ability to change my own life.
Christian's story is indeed a remarkable one. From a difficult childhood in a small Cameroonian town to now being awarded by world leaders for his years of humanitarian work. Now, considering all he has done and the lives he has touched, I could not help but ask Christian if there were any specific stories that have stayed with him all these years. And he told me there were so many stories.
I think, Joel, I have a lot of stories to share, because one of the reasons why, despite how my career has grown, I'd never, for the past years, thought of leaving Cameroon or taking a full-time job for the UN or something, despite my level of experience, is actually because of these stories that you asked. In this journey, it's been 16 years that I've been in this space. I've met amazing people that because of our work, they have left from point A to point B. I give you one of these examples. When we started the prison initiative and it became a national project and expanded, a lot of people thought it was not possible to actually take a young person out of violence, to prevent a young person from going back to violence. But we had to put in everything to make this work. And in the course of this, today I'm proud to say we have other over 25 inmates who, after their time in prison, have become entrepreneurs. Amongst them is a young man called Michael. Michael was incarcerated for 135 years for 7 counts and for attempting a jailbreak. Now, that was equivalent to life in prison. Now, when he was in his 13th year of jail term, he came across our program, which we started in prison. We started working with him, and our program included psychosocial support, skills development, and we actually created functional enterprises within prison, and we developed what we call the Prison Entrepreneurship Award. Now, Michael, we met in this prison. Before we could know it, Michael started becoming so interested, despite the fact that he had a long time to spend in prison. And he was working so hard. He became the class prefect of their class. And he was in fashion designing and production of jewelries and all of that. Before we could know it, he became a mediator for us within prison, where he was speaking to his peers in times where we had difficult moments working with the prison community in prison. And with that, the prison superintendent, you know, observed that he has been having change, and he started filing for probation. And behold, 3 years later, he was released after spending 16 years in prison. When Michael was released, he had already started working in prison, earning money, and had bought his machines. And one of his products, which he made, was bought by a young lady during our exhibition in London. And it was used, she used it to attend the birthday of the late Queen, you know, in the UK. And she sent us this picture. And I showed it to them in prison. And I said, the local things you are doing in prison is inspiring the world. You have to keep doing. In 2018, I met with Akon. And Akon spoke the same way to me. Christian, what you are doing is building lives. What you're wearing is prison product. And I believe in it. And these stories we took to them. Now this guy was released, Jewel. As we speak today, we worked with him to set up his enterprise. Today, he's a well-known entrepreneur when it comes to fashion designing and production of handmade clothing materials. For example, he produces school bags, school uniforms. He produces clothes, traditional clothes, and hats and others. He even goes an extra mile to produce these things sometimes with waste to promote recycling. He produces shoes with used tires. He uses plastic to produce school bags for children. As we speak, he's currently producing over 200 school bags for our back to school program. For example, he has received recognition when he goes for his exhibition with his products from the government and many other people. He's featured on CNN. He has featured on BBC. And today he is our pride. And his story is being shared across the world. And it was the little investment we did. Stories like his inspires us. He is married. He has 2 kids. And he is a believer of change. And today he goes back to prison to train other inmates, to give them hope, to make them believe that it is possible to leave crime and violence. And today he has apprentices, and you would never tell that he has spent 16 years in prison. Jewel, these are stories that keeps me going, that keeps me believing.
Speaking with Christian had been an inspiring experience. His story is the true embodiment of the resilience and fighting spirit of the African youth. And as someone who has dedicated his life to help transform the youths, I could not let him go without asking him what he thinks is the solution to the record amount of young people leaving the African continent for greener pastures abroad.
I think, Joel, the issue of young people wanting to leave the continent, I'm a young person, and I will tell you, the first time I went to the US, my family told me not to come back, you know. that what am I coming back to do in this country? I think the problem is that in most of our African countries, our leaders, our politicians have failed to respect their own part of the social contract. The push factors for all of these, it's also because our governments are failing. I was just giving the example of Nigeria where, you know, the fuel hikes. What about the young person who was managing Uber or taxi driver or running a grocery shop or running something where fuel was needed? You know, these are the things that pushes young people. I also was reflecting around conflicts, you know, that we have in the continent. In Cameroon, for example, hundreds of young people have fled using Mexico. And some of them are even from my family. Joel, I'm from a difficult community. And I have my peers, family members who have traveled through the road to get to Mexico and the USA. And when I speak to them in my engagements abroad, and they say, Christian, what are we going to be in that country doing? You know, I want to come to Europe because I want to get better education, because I go to school and I don't get jobs. And all of these things are there. You know, I was doing my petit trade. I tried to go to Nigeria, but the flight is so expensive. What do I do? I prefer to go to somewhere else. These are the realities. But there is hope, Joel. There's hope because looking at the little work that I do at Local Youth Corner today, today, I have been able to create jobs for over 25 young people who are not imagining that they want to go to Europe for anything. They are where they are. They are working. Even when they go for conferences in Europe, they come back. We have many young people today in the tech industry and others who are creating jobs, and they need to be supported and they need to be elevated because the works that young people are doing, they are becoming part of the solution and not the problem, as we had been seeing for a very long time. So we are bringing the solution by creating jobs. When you look at Ghana, for example, the tech industry today in Ghana is providing a lot of employment. If you look at, you know, West Africa in general, you know, the entertainment industry today, look at the young people who are artists and the rest today. They are able to be able to take care of themselves, feed themselves. Look at the content creation industry in Nigeria today. All the Mr. Macaroni and the others. These are young people where if they were not able to engage in this, they would have found themselves somewhere, maybe in the Atlantic Ocean or in the desert trying to go abroad. But today, because the digital age is opening spaces for young people, I think it is only important for our governments to invest more in these industries, not to see these young people, because they criticize governments, to be problems, but they should see them as opportunity and ensure that you invest in them. The movie industry in Nigeria today is among the top 4 or 5, you know, income generating platforms within the country. These are the things that we must be able to promote to ensure that we, as young people, can stay in our continent, work in our continent, we could travel abroad to share ideas, to learn, and come back to become better. So, Joy, I mean, these are my thoughts because I'm also still young and I have a family, I have friends whom I see sometimes wanting to travel abroad, and the realities are there and they are before us. Our leaders, our politicians are not keeping their own end of the promises which they made for us.
This episode of the Climb Podcast was hosted and edited by Joel Etedo-Bright. Special thanks to Christian Achaleke for allowing us to tell his story. The Climb Podcast is a podcast collaboration between the Channels Media Group and the Firoz Lalji Institute for Africa at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Thank you for listening.